Well, morning, folks, here at Church in the Marketplace, and g'day if you're joining us online. We pray that God will bless you as you listen in with us this morning. We've been thinking about how in life and in faith and in the church we are somehow better together. And this morning, I want us to think about how we help each other grow. So Paul, writing to the church in Rome, says, from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and all along he knew who would, should become like his son. That's one of our life purposes, to become like Jesus. While we're here on earth, God wants us to get us ready for heaven, and he wants us to grow in character, and he wants us to grow spiritually. And Scripture teaches us that we can't do that on our own. We have to have other people to help us grow. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage each other and build each other up. And there's a bonus this morning. We can apply the principles here that we're going to see in many different ways. So we can use it to help our partner grow, our husband, our wife. We can use it to help our kids grow, the people we work with. We can use it in our small group, how we help each other grow. It's really a decision to love other people and to help them grow. So as we prepare to think about that, let's pray. Our Lord, you create us in your likeness. So we come with a character and a personality. We come like an organism that is ready to grow. And you tell us that in the life of your church, as we're gathered together as your people, that's a task that you give to each one of us, to help one another grow. So as we think about that this morning, Lord, we pray that you would help us as we seek to put it into practice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I think you're going to be saying, I knew that. So I hope you'll use this morning as encouragement to keep putting in practice the principles that we're talking about. So here we go. We help each other grow by affirming each other's worth. Here's a little secret if you haven't figured it out yet in life. Everybody is looking for affirmation. You notice that? Everybody. People will do almost anything to get it. If you don't believe that, just watch some of the reality TV shows. Look at what people will do to get on TV and get affirmed. When you and I affirm other people, we are showing love. We're ministering like Jesus ministered. We're doing God's work in the world. We are representing God. God is an incredibly affirming and loving God. That's God's personality. That's God's character. God is love. When we affirm, we're showing the world a little bit more about what God is like. But here's the question, how do we go about affirming people in our everyday lives? Well, here's a couple of ways I think we do that. First of all, we do it by showing acceptance. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another just as Christ accepted you. Now, truth be told, it's easy for us to look down on other people. Well, truth be told, it's easy for me to look down on other people. It's easy to act like we are better than other people. We live in a put-down kind of world. People tend to put other people down. Our culture teaches us to compare everything and rate everything, appearance, talents, income. And when we're always comparing, it's easy to put other people down. I think it's also true we have a tendency to take our strengths and project them onto other people and notice how they don't quite measure up to our standards. Let me be careful here. For instance, I know that some of you are people like me. We like to be on time. All the time. We're just that kind of people. That's the way life is for us. And those people who aren't on time, we can look down on them. We can come and sit up the back so we can watch all the late people come in, and that makes us feel good about ourselves. I'm just kidding. A little bit. We tend to project our strengths onto other people, forgetting that we have other weaknesses. Or some of us, we are tidy people. Just everything is nice and clean. We go into other people's houses and, well, we notice stuff. We don't say anything about it, but we see it. And it makes us feel better about ourselves. Let me tell you, a better way to feel better about ourselves, instead of doing it by putting other people down, one of the greatest ways to feel better about who we are is to lift other people up. Romans 14:10 says, why do you look down on another Christian? Remember, each of us will stand personally before the judgment seat of God. I can't help somebody grow and be rejecting them at the same time. We have to accept them like Jesus accepted us. In order to do that, we have to value the God-given differences and uniqueness that we all have. 1 Corinthians 12 says, God works through different people in different ways. And I'm kind of glad he does that. He made us different. How do we tell when we've accepted somebody? Here's one of the tests. We stop insisting that they be like us. We realize and rejoice in the fact that they're different. The truth of the matter is, the world would be a boring place if everybody was just like me. So God has made us in all different kinds of ways to do all different kinds of things so everything can get done in this world. We help people grow by acceptance. We help people grow with attention, by showing attention. Not just acceptance, but attention. That takes more time than acceptance. We can accept somebody and still ignore them. We can overlook them. Galatians 6:10 says, give special attention to those who are in the family of believers. Why do they get special attention? It's one of the benefits of being in the family of God. It's one of the benefits of being part of a church. We get special attention. Why? Well, here's the general principle. Whatever we pay attention to is going to grow. If I pay attention to my garden, it's going to grow. If I pay attention to my kids, they're going to grow. If I pay attention to my marriage, it's going to grow. If I pay attention to my work, that's going to grow. The only principle I think where that doesn't work is hair. For some people, the more attention they pay to it, the more it falls out. I don't know why that is. The greatest gift of love is not diamonds. It's not flowers. It's not chocolate. The greatest gift of love we can give is focused attention. We can affirm people just by looking them in the eye, and just by looking in the eye, we're saying, I value you. What you have to say is important to me because you matter to me. What people want more than anything else is focused attention. They want to know that their thoughts matter, that their lives matter, that they're valuable. God pays attention to us. He says, even the hairs on your head are numbered. And Jesus says that the essence of relationships isn't what we do for each other, and the essence of relationships isn't even what we provide for each other. The essence of relationships is how much of ourselves we give to each other. Focused attention. Nothing can compensate for our time. Our kids don't need things. They need parents. They need time. Marriages need time. Friendships need time. Groups need time. The average Aussie, I think this is last year's statistics, but the average Aussie now watches TV more than 18 hours a week. That's TV. That's not non-work internet time, and the figures get even higher. And it's no wonder we don't have time for relationships. When Friends was on TV, people would rather watch Friends than make friends. They'd rather watch somebody else live a fake life than them live a real life. So let me ask us, me too, who do we tend to overlook? It's often the people closest to us. Who's the person who's in our life all the time, but we just don't see them because we're too busy doing something else? To pay attention, that's the greatest gift of love we can give. So let's make time this week for that. We need acceptance. We need attention. Here's a third practical way that we could help people grow. We help them grow by showing affection. That's physical touch. Now, I know I need to be really careful here. Let me just tell you some principles. Maybe you've read about babies and the failure to thrive syndrome. That means that little infants, if they're not stroked, if they're not caressed, if they're not touched as they grow up, they don't develop properly. They don't grow the way that God intended for them to grow. Babies have to be touched. Maybe that's why God made them so soft. I don't know. We want to touch them. We want to nuzzle them. We want to hold them close. And they need that stimulation of skin in order to grow and develop. Most of us know that. It's called the failure to thrive syndrome. Adults need it too. One UCLA study reported that to be a healthy, fulfilled, satisfied adult, we need 8 to 10 meaningful touches every day. A handshake, a hug, a pat on the back, a little squeeze. We were made, in some sense, to be touched. Whether we ever marry or not, whether we ever have sex or not, we need touches in our lives in order to grow and be all that God wants us to be. Romans 12:10 says, love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family. We're family. We're all in the family of God. You're my sisters and you're my brothers. Brothers and sisters, show affection to each other. We've got to show it. If we love others in God's family, we need to show it. People need to be touched. Now, if we are uncertain about the appropriate way to do that, ask. He's not here. James Allardyce loves a hug. Let me tell you, he loves a hug. Some people love a hug. Some people, you'll see them back away. They don't, you know. And we have to be very careful about it, particularly in the sort of society and culture we live in. Nevertheless, people need affection. The fourth thing, showing appreciation. We affirm each other's worth with appreciation. Appreciation means to raise something in its value. 12 months ago, if you brought a home in Sydney, you knew the meaning of the word appreciation. It goes up in value. In the last few months, you know the meaning of depreciation. You lose in value. Every time we appreciate somebody, we raise their value to us and to others. When we appreciate our wives, we raise their value. When we appreciate our husband, our boyfriend, our girlfriend, or a friend, we raise their value. When we appreciate our kids, we raise their value. When we appreciate our small group, we raise its value to us. Everything we appreciate increases in value. Now, the Bible says, brothers and sisters, appreciate those who work hard among you, who lead you in the Lord and teach you. So, today when the service is over, not me, find three people you appreciate. Say thank you for them. Say thank you to them for something. Thank you. Thank the musicians. Thank you. Thank the morning tea service. Thank the members of staff who work here through the week. Thank one of our elders. Thank somebody. Another way we can all help each other grow, and that's by praying for each other's growth. By doing what this guy named Epaphras did. His story is in Colossians 4 verse 12. Paul wrote, Epaphras always prays for you that you will grow to be spiritually mature. Now, I don't know about you, but praying is hard for me. You'd think it would come naturally, but it doesn't. So this impresses me that Epaphras took the time, he had the discipline to pray for people. But I also love the fact that he prayed for people's spiritual growth. Now, we usually pray prayers for people's needs. We pray for their health needs. We pray for their financial needs. And we should do that. But we don't spend nearly as much time praying for people's spiritual growth, praying that a person's character will change. And I think one of the reasons is we don't know what to pray about. How would we pray for somebody's spiritual growth? And fortunately, the Bible is filled with texts about how to pray for somebody spiritually. Let me just share a couple of them with you this morning. And as I do, why don't you think of someone you'd like to pray this for right now? Ephesians 3:18 and 19 says, I pray you'll be able to feel and understand how long, wide, deep and high Christ's love really is and to experience this love for yourselves. Who do you know that needs God's love in their life right now? They may be struggling a little bit, bring them to mind and say, God, show them your love. Let them know today how much you really love them. And you know, I'm going to do a couple of these. I have a feeling that the prayers we pray right now will probably have a lot more impact than anything I say or Brody says or somebody else says. That the power of prayer, it's the power of prayer to make a difference in people's lives. Here's some more. Hebrews 13:21 says, I pray you will be always eager to do right. Parents, wouldn't you like to pray that for your kids? That they not only do what is right, but they're eager to do the right thing. Pray that for them right now. Or for some friend, somebody at work, God, give them integrity. Bring their name to mind. God, I pray for them this morning. Romans 15:13 says, I pray God who gives hope will fill you with much joy and peace while you trust in him. Who wouldn't like some hope in their lives? Or who doesn't need more joy or peace in their lives? You see, the foundation of it all is that we trust in him. Say, God, I know somebody who needs some hope this morning. Help them to trust in you during this difficult time. I know somebody who needs some joy. Help them to trust in you so that their heart can be lifted up. Bring their name to mind right now. Or Ephesians 1:17 says, I pray God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Who do you know that's facing a decision? Ask God to give them wisdom right now. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. I pray the Lord will guide you to be as loving as God and as patient as Christ. Anyone got that down yet? As loving as God and as patient as Christ? Is anyone here as loving as God? Anyone as patient as Jesus? We're just not there yet. But we can pray for each other that we will grow the rest of our lives to get closer to that. Who needs some of God's love? Who needs some patience in their lives right now? Pray that verse for them. Bring their name to mind right now. Or who do you know that's feeling pretty overwhelmed by life? Who do you know that maybe doesn't feel like they're going to make it or feels like they're having to do everything by their own energy, their own power? Pray this for them, Ephesians 3:16. I pray God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. Bring their name to mind and say, God, help them to know they are not alone today, that you'll give them strength and power. Well, we just prayed individually for a lot of people and there's power in that. But there's even more power when we pray together, when we get in a group of other people and pray. And I want to encourage us to do that. Find times to get in a group and pray for each other's spiritual growth. Romans 15:5 says, may God develop maturity in you so that you will get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us. Notice that the test of maturity is relationships. It's not content, it's not knowledge, it is relationships. God says as he develops maturity in us, we get along with each other, just as Jesus gets along with us. That's a secret ingredient that builds community faster than anything else. Here's that ingredient: by admitting our mistakes. By admitting our mistakes builds community and intimacy and relationships faster than almost anything else. Huh. Ephesians 4:25 says, tell each other the truth because we all belong to each other. Tell the truth about ourselves, our fears, our uncertainties, our doubts, our hang-ups. Now confession doesn't mean just confessing our deep, dark sins. Confession just means admitting what's going on in our lives. I'm having some doubts today. I admit it. That's a confession. I'm worried about such and such. That's a confession. I'm feeling a little lonely. That's a confession. I'm having a hard time forgiving that person. That's a confession. I just don't know why, but I feel depressed. I feel discouraged today. That's a confession. When we're honest about what's going on in our lives and we're not blaming anybody else for it, it draws us closer to them and them closer to us. Why in the world would anybody do that? Why would anybody risk honesty? Because it's worth the risk. God says there's a couple of benefits of being honest about our mistakes and our feelings, our faults, our fatigue, our failures, our fears. And we get these benefits when we're honest with another person or a group. We get emotional healing. James 5:16 says, admit your faults to one another. Notice it doesn't say admit them to a priest. Doesn't say admit them to a pastor. It doesn't say admit them to God. It doesn't say admit them to a counselor. It says admit them to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's a big difference between forgiveness and emotional healing. They're not the same thing. Forgiveness, if we need forgiveness for something in our life, we need to confess it to God. We don't have to tell anybody else. Confess it to God and we are forgiven. But a lot of people, after they've confessed to God, they still feel guilty. They still feel hung up. They still can't let go. They still feel emotionally scarred. Why? They haven't done this part, telling it to somebody else. God has wired the universe in such a way that emotional healing comes not from telling God, he already knows it, but from telling somebody else who doesn't know it. That's where emotional healing comes from. I'm not making it up. This is what God says. Confess your faults to one another and you will be healed. You want forgiveness? You confess it to God. You want healing? You want to let go of that pain? You want to get it behind you? You want to stop having to think about it? You need to tell it to somebody else. Now, you don't have to tell everybody. In fact, I don't recommend that you do that. Don't tell everybody, but you need to tell somebody. A trusted individual, a spiritual partner who can pray with you. God has wired us that way that we need to tell others. The second thing we get when we do it is a fresh start. Not only emotional healing, but a fresh start. Proverbs 28:13 says, anyone who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful, but if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. One of the most helpful things we can do is help people forgive themselves. A lot of people have confessed to God and God has forgiven them and they just don't feel it. They need somebody to say, you're forgiven. Have you admitted to God? Yes, then you're forgiven. Have you confessed it? Then you're forgiven. Let it go. Sometimes we just need somebody to say that to us. The third benefit of honesty is we get God's power to change. So James 4:10 says, when you bow down before the Lord and you admit your dependence on him, God will lift you up. Notice he doesn't scold you. He doesn't shame you. He doesn't put you down. He lifts you up and gives you honor. How does that work? God wants us to learn to be like him, and God is humble. So the Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That means when I'm honest about my weaknesses, then I'm humble. When I'm humble, I get God's grace. God's grace is the power to change. When I get God's grace, I can change the things I've always wanted to change in my life. But it only comes through humility. And humility comes through honesty. Healing and a fresh start and the power to change come from being open with other people. God wants us to need each other. I am not perfect. You didn't laugh. You're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. So who are we kidding? We just need to be honest about it. Here's the fourth benefit of honesty. Deeper fellowship. Deeper fellowship when we admit our mistakes. 1 John 1:7 says, if we live in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. We get fellowship. Why? Because in the light we can't hide anything. The darkness is where we hide. Here's the myth. We think that if we're open about our fears, about our hang-ups, about our imperfections, about our secret faults, that people are going to think less of us. But the opposite is true. Actually, the more honest we are, the more people want to be with us and like us. What's more attractive to you, deceitfulness or honesty? Honesty is. You want to be around people that say, that guy is the real deal. He's not a fake. He's not a phony. What you see is what you get. He's not putting on a big show. I like that guy. I like that woman. They're the real deal. What we don't like are people who fake it, who pretend that they're perfect, who try to hide everything. That's not attractive at all. Here's the fourth way we help each other grow And by the way God wired it, when we help other people grow, God helps us to grow. We never grow faster than when we're helping somebody else. The fourth way is by encouraging each other's commitment. So the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:7, keep yourselves in training for a godly life. How do we do that? How do we stay in training for a godly life? We stay in a small group. We stay with a spiritual partner. We get somebody alongside us. It's easier to work out when we're working with somebody else. We get a spiritual partner. That's why the Bible says in Romans 1, I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. That's why we need a church family. That's why we're better together. We help each other out. Let's pray. Our Lord, I do want to grow up and I do want to continue to grow spiritually. I don't want to stay like a spiritual baby. So today I want to choose to make some commitments about that. First, I commit my life to you, Jesus. Thank you for your purposes for my life. I want to follow them. I want people in the world around me to know that I follow you. I want to be better together because I'm part of the life of Church in the Marketplace. I want to be part of its groups and its ministry and its mission. I want to grow and be the person you want me to be. I want to commit to that journey. I want you, Lord, to take your place in my heart and my mind so that you affect everything I do and everything I say. In Jesus' name. Amen.